141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look ahead to a big midweek of Scottish Premiership action. Philippe Clement says Rangers fans only need to look at Nicholas Kuhn for a bit of patience as to how his attackers might improve in the future. Luke McCowan for Scotland is the suggestion, backed up by Brendan Rodgers, and it is not going well for Scotland's women over in their playoff final in Helsinki. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dale.
Yeah, it was a good weekend of football, Gordon. Obviously, the Scottish Cup third round as well. A lot of good results in there. Finished last night with Falkirk putting out East Kilbride, and then we see the Cup draw. One or two good games, obviously. The Dundee Derby right away, that's the one you sit up and you take notice of. Celtic, Kilmarnock, Rangers, Fraserburgh. So, a lot of good games, but all eyes will be focused on tomorrow night. Pittodrie, what a cracker we're in store for. And it's up to Rangers to keep their form going. I know that probably once again it wasn't the best watch in the world, but it was a good week for Rangers, especially in Europe. Then going up to St Johnstone, never pretty up there, getting the 3 points. An opportunity to put a bit of pressure on either Celtic or Aberdeen tomorrow by closing that gap. And then you look at Dundee playing Motherwell, and Motherwell need the bounce back ability.
Anyway, forget that. Who cares about the football? The big 5-0. Look at them. Still a spring chicken in the eyes of most Scottish football fans. I do think news of Simon Donnelly's 50th will rock Scottish football.
I read some of the comments,
can't believe I played against you.
You're just forever seen as the fresh
face. I'm an old man, you're a young boy.
Young striker coming through.
They've scored again.
No, that's a replay. You've done a Gordon Dale. It's half time. 50 years of age. Exactly.
50.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Gordon was telling me it's the new 40 before we came on there, so
I wouldn't listen to him.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You try to boost me.
Boost you. Mate, you're looking superb, I've got to say.
Do you think there is something in that though? See what I mean? Like, genuinely, I feel for a generation of football fans, he's like remembered as the young guy coming through, and now he's 50 years of age.
As well, eh?
He's aged well.
He obviously got a born life.
Did you have a good birthday?
I had a great birthday. Just low key with the family.
Good.
Yeah, it was very good. Did a speech. Got emotional a little bit. And all my kids slaughtered me.
Pretty right.
Pretty much.
We slaughtered you as well.
You've got to do a speech, haven't you? They slaughtered me.
Good
they
on them.
They were impressed with it.
Anyway, 01419511025. That's the number you need. So what are you thinking? If you're confused by Simon Donnelly's interruption there, it's half time in Helsinki.
Yeah, I got that one wrong.
Scotland
there.
Women
they're scored again.
Scotland women trail by 2-0, so it's not going well, and they're not making the Euros as things stand. I have to say, a huge penalty shout on the stroke of half time though, waved away, which will be a real frustration. But anyway, that's the live football for now. Then it becomes all about tomorrow. So a top of the table clash. Yes, usually that involves Glasgow's big two, but not yet. Aberdeen still up there. They're falling away slightly. So how big a game is it tomorrow? Celtic fans, Aberdeen fans. As for you Celtic fans, it's all about the rotation, isn't it? And the squad players are coming in and doing such a good job. Luke McCowan seems to be grabbing all the headlines. Brendan Rodgers today saying he would have no qualms of starting him in a game like this one tomorrow, even backing him for a potential Scotland call-up as well. So how are you feeling on that subject? Because of course these players do sometimes come in with no offence against teams like Ross County at home. What about for a game like Aberdeen? Is he at a level where he can go and start Celtic's biggest must win games? Do let us know. And anything else you want to add into the mix ahead of that trip to Pittodrie, pick up the phone. Aberdeen fans, it might be nice to hear from you. I wonder if your confidence levels have dipped a bit in the last couple of weeks, having dropped points, or with home advantage, do you think you can go and give Celtic a bloody nose? 01419511025. Rangers fans, what about Philippe Clement today then? He was asked a lot about not creating enough, not scoring enough, and he said that if you look at the main attacking player from the other side of the town, that's Nicholas Kuhn to you and I, he started slow, now he's flying, and maybe the Rangers players can do that as well. I think that was the message. What do you make of that as a comparison? Pick up the phone and let us know. Again, 01419511025. Everybody's playing in the next couple of days, so no matter what team you support, I think we had some mixed reviews coming in from Motherwell fans last night, some St Mirren fans who were grumbling a bit about the VAR decisions at the weekend. And when all this is said and done in Helsinki in about 50 minutes time, well, no, Scotland will either be heading to the Euros or crashing out. So you can give us a call on that one. Same number, 01419511025. Good weekend, Gordon Dalziel. Are you over it? Are you all ready for a busy midweek?
Yeah, a good weekend of football. I like the excitement of the Scottish Cup as well. I like to see the small clubs getting through and then sitting waiting for a draw last night to see who they're going to get. Listen, if you're Fraserburgh, brilliant, you're over the moon.
See, that's why I'm glad you're here, keeping me on my toes, pointing out things that I forget. What about the Scottish Cup draw? What did you make? I'd love to hear from some Clydebank fans.
Brilliant.
Yeah, tie of the round in that,
I think,
sense.
Yeah, I think Fraserburgh. I think these teams, the so-called smaller teams, it's a great opportunity for them, isn't it, to go and play at stadiums that they maybe don't always, you know, expect to get to that level. Fantastic experience for them, but that's the beauty of the Cup.
Yeah, I agree with Simon. I think that the smaller teams just sit there and they pray. These guys have never played probably at this level. They've never played at Ibrox, never played against Hibs at Easter Road. They've never, you know, and it's such a treat, and to go along there and be a part of it. They get a lot of press as well. It's well highlighted. It's great for the clubs. You know, well, Clydebank's been absolutely terrific under Gordon Moffat. So they'll go there and they'll enjoy the occasion. You don't expect them to get anything, but they'll go enjoy the occasion. Fraserburgh's the same. You look at Celtic game as well, that's a good tie at home to Kilmarnock. Derek McInnes will be looking forward to that, but you would obviously think that Celtic are firm favourites the way they're going about their business. And then look up at Dundee, you know, terrific, yeah, for a derby. You've probably played and been involved in them.
I've been involved in them, yeah, certainly as a coach. But yeah, that will capture the imagination of the city, the Dundee derby. And then I'm looking there, Hearts at Glebe Park against Brechin as well. So some really good ties to
but
come out.
I think now that's for the future. I think all eyes will be on tomorrow night at Pittodrie. Can Aberdeen? It's a big test for Aberdeen. We say that. We've been saying that since the beginning of the season, right? And they passed it when they went to Celtic Park, but they took a hammering against Celtic at Hampden. They took a hammering in the semi-final. You just wonder what the situation's going to be tomorrow night. Celtic got up there, the way they're playing, they're just blowing teams away. Their first half performance against Ross County was excellent. I think that Ross County were quite lucky just to get away with five. So they're firing in all cylinders, they're playing very well. And the big question is, and I think if you look in the middle of the park, who will that midfield three be?
Yeah, and a big night for Rangers as well, because at the moment it's just constant, this desire for now to, yeah, fine, get some points, but even needs to be more than that in the eyes of the Rangers fans. More goals, better performance level. Philippe Clement-Drey saying, well, he didn't say Nicholas Kuhn, he alluded to Nicholas Kuhn as a lesson of what can happen with some patience.
Like, they're not a no-win situation now for me, Rangers. I think a lot of Rangers fans, they're not happy with the performances, but you've got to give the manager a wee bit credit. It's about results, first and foremost, and he's had a good week. Now, yes, he's against Kilmarnock tomorrow night at Ibrox, probably favourites. He's looking at Pittodrie thinking, somebody's got to drop points. So it's a good opportunity to climb a little bit nearer, give themselves a little bit more confidence. It would be nice for them to sort of round it all off with a good 3 points and a good performance that Rangers fans are happy with. As I say, I feel sorry for him sometimes that he does go to St Johnston after the European night on Thursday night. It's always a difficult place to go. You're never going to get a cracking game of football up there. St Johnston make it very difficult, but they still win the game. But still, Rangers fans, quite a few of them still not happy with the performances.
Yeah, I mean, the performance was a wee bit kind of lacklustre, but as you say, 3 points on the back of the European game. We did the show last week before the European. I mean, they go and score 4 goals there, albeit nice at times. You're questioning their defence, they were all over the place. But they certainly were the best team that night, Rangers. And you're right, that's all they can do is just keep, you know, winning games.
They've got a big few weeks coming up. You know, Kilmarnock will not be easy. Derek will always have them well organised. But I still fancy Rangers to win that. And then everybody, all eyes will be in the December when Spurs come calling. and then 3 days later, or the cup final. Yeah. So it's going to be a big, big December. It's going to be a big month for them.
What an exciting couple of weeks, no matter what team you support, particularly, though, of course, those that are involved in Europe and of the League Cup final. So let's get stuck into it. 01419511025. A busy day across Scottish football. Brendan Rodgers did his press duties, so did Philippe Clement, so did a lot of other managers ahead of those games tomorrow. So give us a call, let us know what you're thinking. James in Drumchapel is first through. How are you, James?
Hi, I'm good, guys, yourself?
Not bad, thank you. What made you call tonight?
It's just about Clement again. I think I've lost patience with him, and I lost it months ago with him. Now, for me, he's out again saying, give his time. Now, back in August, he says, wait until we get to October, November, December time. We will be better. Now he's back today saying, oh, give his time because we'll get better. I've lost it now with him. I cannot stand him as a manager. And for me, Michael Beale was chased for less. Michael Beale was sitting second in the Premier League. We're sitting third behind an Aberdeen team that we should never be chasing in a month of Sundays. I've lost it. I've gave my season tickets away this year to my cousins because I will not set foot back in Ibrox while that man's in charge of my team.
It sounds, James, that it's as much about the way he explains things and the way he goes about things that's annoying you every bit as much as the performances. Is that fair? Is that what's annoying you?
That is correct. It's just statements that he's coming out with are just absolutely, I don't know. I actually turn them off now. I can't listen to him. He absolutely does my boxing.
I know the feeling.
That's speaking, a Glasgow saying, isn't it?
Speaking of which, Gordon Dale, what did you have to...
I do many people's
what's
boxing.
Your verdict, look, on James's?
I take on board what James is saying, right? Because I'm going up front, sometimes he frustrates the life out of me when I hear him in his press conferences. But I think sometimes you've got to look and say, right, last week was a big week for him. He's under pressure nearly every game. Mm. You know, for a Rangers manager, he's under pressure nearly every game. I think fans are just sitting there thinking, right, if this doesn't go well tonight, we're on him right away. And that's what's happening. I don't think he helps himself. I know what James is saying. I think James is not alone. He comes out and he tries to sort of pull the wool over the Rangers supporters' eyes with the usual nonsense about we're a young team and we need time and we're growing and we're getting better. People are watching it week in, week out. But where I will defend him is, in the last week he came up against difficult games for me, two away from home. Not the greatest, I thought, in Sunday, but still went up there, done a professional job, got the 3 points down the road. You've just got to accept that. Over Nice, at 4-1, they could have probably scored 6-7 over there.
Crazy game, wasn't it?
Yeah, crazy, it was. But you can't keep beating them with the same stick, Gordon, going, well, that team were rubbish, or that team had... They can only play what's in front of them, right? And it was always got to be a difficult game. People are going, oh, question the defending, whatever. But Rangers went out there and done a professional job and got the job done. They're in a good situation in Europe. But I totally take on board what James is saying. He does frustrate you in his press conferences.
I think it's a combination of the performances as well, though. And as James says there, they're not only chasing Celtic down, they're behind Aberdeen at the moment. And I think that just heaps more pressure on Clement. Again, you look across the city and they'll always compare. And you're looking at Celtic free-flowing and free-scoring. So I think the frustration's there as well. But, you know, the last week, on the back of the dropping points at home against Dundee United, he's won the two games. Yes, the game at the weekend wasn't spectacular, but they won it. And they have to go and do that again tomorrow.
James, here's one for you, and I know I'm digging deep into the psychology of this rivalry. Would you rather Celtic just won tomorrow to help you get closer to Aberdeen first, or is it the old take a draw and try and gain ground on them both?
Well, no, I want Celtic to get beat, mate, no matter what they're doing.
I thought you might say that. I was just in case I had misunderstood how it works.
No. We just need to look after ourselves. And I get what Gordon's saying there. We seem to be able to manage Europe absolutely brilliant. But when it comes to the bread and butter, now, I'm no interested in Europe. I couldn't care less, right? I know it's a big plus and I would love to be in the Champions League with all the money coming in. But your bread and butter is the league. We just don't seem to have this. I don't know if he's lost the dressing room. I know, you know, you keep hearing this, but for me, I just can't get to him now. He's just, when he first came in, he'd done a great job, and he took all the plaudits, but when everything was gone bad, it wasn't him. It was circumstances, and it was everything else. He was blaming toenails for people being offside. It's just the comments that the guy comes out with that I can't get to grips with. You would never heard a Walter Smith speak like that. Never in a month of Sundays would you ever heard him speak like that.
I suppose, I suppose what Europe would do, Gordon, would surely kind of blow the lost the dressing room theory out the window.
Yeah.
Not like a dressing room would say, oh, well, listen, we're in Europe tonight, so we'll put it on.
Yeah. I've never been in favour of that comment, you know, lost the dressing room. I don't think he has, because if he's lost the dressing room, Thursday night doesn't harm. I think Rangers fans are frustrated. You look at Aberdeen, right? Aberdeen are 7 points in front of Rangers just now. 7 points. They've won 2 points out of the last nine, and Rangers are still seven points behind. So I think that frustrates the Rangers supporters as well. He seems to be in a game to game. Some Rangers fans, and I hate to say this, Gordon, I've actually spoken to some of them, are thinking...
Much hate to say that you've spoken
no,
to
no,
them.
No, 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 because what I'm going to say is some Rangers fans are saying, I hope we lose so we can get rid of the manager. I've never heard that in all the times that I've known as Rangers Football Club. And the Rangers fans, like they're turned off with them. But I keep saying, give them a bit of credit. The last couple of results after the Dundee game, over in France was excellent. And then, obviously, you've got to go up and grind a result out against St Johnstone. But he's got a big, big few games coming up, and it starts tomorrow night.
Can tomorrow... James, can you see it that tomorrow becomes the night where all of a sudden it's a 3-goal win, it's swashbuckling, it's a bit more expressive in front of goal? How important is it you start getting at least a couple of those performances?
I would love to say that it will happen tomorrow, but I just kind of see it. I think it'll be one of the tough games. That, you know, Derek McInnes has got his teams well drilled and stuff like that, and he'll come to Ibrox to frustrate. And you know what it's like after 20 minutes, whatever, if Rangers haven't scored, then the fans will start kind of heaping more pressure onto the players. I would love to see us go out and win 3-0 and have the all round performance, but I think it's going to be one of the hard drawn, ugly 1-0 wins again. I just can't see things turning. My biggest fear that I've got is actually flinging more money at this guy to see what he's got, because I don't think any player, all bar Conor Barron, has set, you know, the place on fire for me. And it's all right saying, you know, give his time, but where are we going to be 3 years down the line, sitting fourth, and he's still crying on about the same thing, and it'll be, oh, we can't sack him because we'll give him another year's contract? Or it's really, really frustrating at the moment, and it's just, for me, I don't know where things are going to turn.
Let's hear some of the comments that have annoyed James today. We'll say bye to him because he doesn't want to listen to them, so he can hang up. But Philippe Clement accepts they do need to start scoring more. He thinks players returning from injury and others hitting form can help.
To score more goals, I think that's a major one. We didn't concede much, but we have to score more goals and to be more lethal in the final third. Looking also with the players available, how we can create this. There are several important offensive players that we were missing. Danilo is coming back now. He was all the time not available. Yanis, also with the situation before, is coming back, giving other options. Hamza, he's taking really good steps. I think 1 month ago a lot of people were saying, why do we buy a Moroccan guy who don't have any experience at this level? So people start to see now why, but he needs to take further steps the next couple of months. So we start to get options there in the offensive part, and that's crucial for sure in a club as Rangers, where you have so many games. We will have now 16 games the next 8 weeks, so it's going to be very important that you can have also a kind of rotation in those positions, but a rotation that you can put quality in every minute that players are on the pitch. That's crucial to get results.
What do you think? Give us a call, 01419511025. If you do it now, we'll try and get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL here. Scotland women's national team still 2-0 down in the final of that playoff for the Euros. Much, much better second half performance, but huge job to be done. Rob is on the line. How are you, Rob?
I'm I'm good, guys. How are we?
Good, thank you. What is on your mind tonight?
What I kind of try and make a slight case for Phil Clement and the Rangers squad, to be honest with you. And Clement first came in, it was well documented about how well the team had first done when it came in. But if you notice, the kind of turning point was the amount of injuries that Rangers got at that time. There was injuries to kind of key players, three or four key players, players who were on form and doing a job for the team, like the boy Cortez came in, he was flying, he got injured. Seymour was scoring a lot of goals, he got injured. I'm sure there was a couple other players that got injured as well, and it kind of upset the balance of the team. And then during the summer, there's a whole kind of squad overhaul. There's essentially a downsizing of the squad. He's bringing in guys at the start of the season who are new to the club, new to the system, new to the city. As you've heard numerous times people say, Glasgow's a tough, tough place to kind of come and adapt and kind of hit the ground running. Again, results in Europe, I think, have been decent. He's almost matching Steven Gerrard's record with seven wins on the bounce away from home. The football's not been the greatest. Let's not kind of kid each other on, but it seems to be kind of Emperor's new clothes a wee bit, and it seems to be let's all kind of jump on the bandwagon of how rubbish Rangers are, and like players like Tav getting pelters. I read something today, Tav's numbers are the same as what they've always been. Do you know what I mean? He's going off the boil, but is that because maybe the fans are playing a part in that in terms of how they're always on his back, or there's always criticising? I just genuinely think that there's been a bit of a hard press on Rangers, the team, Clement, and I think some of it's kind of unjustified, if I'm 100% honest.
Does it not stem from just, well, it stems from a lot, but you know that cold hard fact, Rob, of, you know, being in early December and trailing Aberdeen by so much? I mean, is it not? It's kind of hard to put a positive spin on that, isn't it?
Yeah, again, the league table, you can't lie with the league table. Obviously, that's there, that's in black and white. But there's a lot of mitigating factors. At the end of the day, football is a game, and it's played on the pitch. So again, results matter, results count. That's what it's all about. But players play the game, and if you're bringing in five or six new players to a system, to a squad, it's going to take time. Again, you can use the Aberdeen thing. The guys come in, hit the ground running. I fair do, but there's probably more pressure on players playing for Rangers than what there is playing for Aberdeen.
I think he answers his own question. You look at Aberdeen. Aberdeen brought in a new manager, never managed in Scotland. They lost their top goal scorer, a massive loss, replaced them with one or two players, hit the ground running. I still believe that Rangers will finish above Aberdeen in the league, right? I still believe that. I firmly believe that. But I agree slightly that the Rangers manager and some players come in for a real rough time. You know, unless it's not right up there, Tavernier's one of those. You know, we get phone calls, he's never a Rangers captain. I don't think Tavernier's anywhere near the player this season he was last year. But I still don't think he deserves a criticism because of what he's achieved, and not achieved, what he's done for the club. You know, his numbers were absolutely brilliant. Dessers is another one. He's another whipping boy. I think that where the problem is, and it was the first caller that said it, I don't think the manager helps himself with his press conferences. I think he just looks excuse after excuse after excuse, and he changes it all the time. I think you've got to give him a wee bit credit. His European campaign's very, very good indeed, and they're in a very good situation. But I keep saying, it's one game at a time. If he did drop points tomorrow night at Kilmarnock, or even the worst scenario, lose, we will be inundated with phone calls on Thursday.
Rob, a criticism we hear often is that, you know, that is fine, because I think deep down people accept, like, with the money and the where the two clubs are at and all that stuff, you know, being behind Celtic is probably to be expected. If you're looking for purely on the manager, has he improved anyone? That's, you know, we hear that quite a lot. Which players in this squad do you think he's improved?
Well, on a personal, on an individual basis, what players has he improved?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's hard to call that one, to be honest with you. A lot of the boys that he has brought in are kind of new to the club, so it's hard to see. Guys that have been there long term, it's hard. If I'm being 100% honest, I can't see it. No, I can't really see improvement in individuals, but I think the squad as a whole is still gelling, and I think players will only improve within that system.
I suppose that is fair, because I think you're right. There's no like exact science. So what are the signs? Do you think it's getting better, even if it's slow? Are they better now than they were at the start of the season?
Well, I think now, I think the best thing for Rangers just now is he kind of knows he's starting 11 now, I think. And I think he's found, he's finding some combos in the team. He's finding a combo in Raskin and Barron, Midley Park. I think the number 10, I think Hadji has to be number 10 all day long. I think Diomandis, for me, Diomandis a number 8. He's better playing with the game in front of him rather than kind of with the game in the back to him. He's better kind of driving on and kind of a box-to-box midfielder, in my opinion. I think he fits into the 10. So I think improvements are... There's a combo there in midfield, which I think is as good as it just now, but it's in the Scottish Premier League, and Barron and Raskin.
I think you'll get a lot of arguments with that, Rob. I don't know... if you're honest and really honest and you look at Celtic's midfield, it's full of quality. I think you're right. I think that combination with Barron Raskin is starting to prove well for Rangers. I disagree. I don't think that the manager does know his strongest team. I think a big plus for him is, me personally, I would stick with Hadji. Mm. I think he brings Rangers something different, yeah, creative. I think he's a real good talent, Hadji. I think he could be a top player. The boys suffered injuries, obviously the situation with his contract at the beginning of the season, we all know about that, but I think Hadji could be a big player for him in the coming months if he can keep him fit. But I don't agree. I don't think right now the manager knows his best starting 11.
You look at his comments just there today about needing to score more goals. So I think Barron's did really well since he's come in, but is Barron and Raskin in the middle of the park going to get goals? You look at, again, you have to compare to Celtic. Rangers always have to look over and vice versa. Celtic are scoring goals from everywhere. Their midfield are popping up with goals. McCown scored, Bernardo scored at the weekend. He needs more goals in his team. These guys, for me, I don't see them getting that goal return.
Rob, I'll ask you the dreaded question. I'm sorry for asking you. Would Barron or Raskin right now get in the Celtic midfield?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, be honest. Would they get in the Celtic midfield?
Looking at it, if I'm 100% honest with you, then probably no.
Right. And look, and that has been honest. And, you know, as a Rangers fan, there's nothing worse in the world saying that. I think Barron and Raskin are forming a wee partnership there. I agree with Simon. I think Barron's come in and looked lively and looked really, really good, and he'll probably get better. But I just think there's still a bit of work to be done for Rangers just to be that strong unit. But as I said earlier, I don't know if you'd agree, but Hadji would certainly be in my team every day of the week.
Well, maybe Rob is in the same line as the Rangers manager, because he says that Nicholas Coon's upturn in form this season shows that players need time to adapt to Scottish football. He says they're working and helping players find their feet.
You always want better, but the last couple of weeks we came a lot of times in the box. We had a lot of good chances that were saved really well against Dundee United, now St Johnston also. You always want more, of course, but you need to create this automatism between players. In that way, they were from last season, look at the starting lineup offensively. There's not one player from last season who started, for example, last game. We have a lot of new players in that area also. You need to find connections. I don't want to make comparisons too much with other teams, but the better players or the better player in offensive part on the other side of the town was 6 months ago or last season was not starting there. He needed time after the transfer to get his rhythm, to get his connection with other players. We're working on that with all these guys, and it's about small details and it's about getting the confidence and getting the goals. But you see that we come more and more in a good way in the box, and we get more and more chances. So that's the way we need to continue.
I suppose it's valid in a very general sense that players can take a while.
Yeah.
But then I've seen other people say, but it was a very distinctive physical thing that Coon had. He lost weight. He came. He wasn't as quick and strong as he is.
I don't think it was a connection. I think you've hit the nail on the head where it was, Gordon. I think that's where he doesn't endear himself to the Rangers fan. I'd be staying away from that. I'd be talking positively.
The other side of that as well, obviously referring to Nicholas Coon, but Celtic weren't in a strong position at the time. They were winning and they were at the top of the league. You know, he's talking to now. Rangers fans are only interested in winning the league. So he's talking about time for players. Yes, I do agree. Certain players take a little bit more time.
These players have been in the building 4 months,
right? You don't get time.
We're now into December. There've been a lot of games played. Yes, yeah. I keep going back to. I'll try and defend him because I think sometimes he gets a bit too much criticism, but he can't come out with excuses about where they need time, and they've been in 4 months. We're in December. Yeah. Is he still going to be saying this in January if he's still in a job? So I'm sorry, that ship sailed for me. These guys, you're now looking at 14 games in the Premier League tomorrow, European games, and you're looking at cup games. So it's not like they're just in the door after a month and you're thinking, right, give them time to settle down. That excuse is not buying it with the Rangers supporters.
No.
And that is the problem with them.
Let's bring in Kevin and get his take on it.
Hi, good evening, Gordon.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi. Well, my point with Ramon is he keeps saying the same things every week. Well, on first day when he was playing in Europe, they were playing good football, they were winning. But when it comes to the St. John's game on the Sunday, I watched it, I seen it on Sky, and to me, he's no good. It's the same tactics all the time. He turns and changes, and he makes excuses. He said that was the best game he played. No, I don't believe that. I just wish the press or the media presses him more, because there's no telling everybody, the fans. Well, all the fans are paying good money to go and watch the club. I want to pay my money to go and watch Rangers. I feel so hot and sad to be seeing my club going down that road, and it makes Celtic me stronger. Because they're playing for fun. That's why they're winning. And when you see the difference between Celtic and Rangers, Rangers are having to go a clue. When it comes to the cup final on the 15th, I dread this. I can see us getting a good hammering of Celtic. No to the respect for Rangers, but they have to come out here and get an account for the support to say we need to win something. If we really win this, I'm afraid the board, this new board, has got a big job in their hand to make this to work. And I hope the chairman and whoever's in charge make sure he's not in charge of this club come January.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, all the Glasgow bravado and seconds nowhere and Celtic have to be the benchmark. And I get it, that will always be the biggest truth. But, Gordon, it feels like Rangers in a place where they need to be the best version of themselves first. I know it sounds a bit cheesy, but that's really all it is. Because realistically, can you expect them to compete with Celtic right now? I think the answer to that is no, and it might hurt people, but that has to be the reality. But the more appropriate question, are they the best version of themselves? Kevin's not having it. The caller before was, to be fair. It feels like, you know, hearing from Philippe Clement, he's saying, you know, well, the opposition goalkeepers are playing out their skin. This came up again a bit last night. Did the St. Johnson keeper really do anything that...
Not to get,
I think the Dundee United one's a better example. I think Jack Walton had one or two that you think, right, that's a save out the top drawer.
But you're not watching Rangers just now, Gordon, saying...
You've got to blow teams away.
There's lovely football. There's nice interchanging. And that's why the fans are frustrated. It's the performances. They seem to be getting results in Europe, and they scored 4 goals against Nice last week. And they were by far the better team. They deserved the win. I'm watching the game before it against Dundee United. I'm watching the game at the weekend there. It's pedestrian. I think the lad Cherney's the one that's been kind of the shining light in the last few games. He's the one that they kind of look to make something happen. But they're quite pedestrian to watch.
Simon, there are people phoning up here having a competition to see who leaves Ibrox earliest. And that tells you there's something not right. And we watched the game on Sunday. I keep going back to it. It was a good 3 points, that's all.
Right, thank you to Kevin. A top of the table clash at Pittodrie, though. How are you feeling about that? Celtic fans, Aberdeen fans, all your pre-match thoughts, team lineup suggestions, your confidence levels, your excitement for the game, whatever it is, pick up the phone and let us know right now, whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pearce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pearce.
As you well know, as Kevin mentioned, there is the small matter of a League Cup final on December the 15th that happens to be between Celtic and Rangers at Hampden, and you could be there Thanks to Cash for Kids, we've got a pair of VIP silver debenture tickets for the Celtic End and Rangers. How good does that sound? Not a bad prize, is it?
Yes, yeah. Very good.
You happy with that? I'll get you them for your 50th birthday. All you need to do is enter the raffle, and then the money goes to Cash for Kids as part of Mission Christmas. I call it the ultimate win-win every night, because it is, that's the best way to describe it. You could have a ticket for one of the biggest games in town whilst helping disadvantaged children right here in our communities. What is not to like? For your chance to win two tickets for the Premier Sports Cup final, text Celtic to 84901 or Rangers to 84901 before 8 p.m. Thursday the 12th of December. Text costs one standard network rate message plus a £10 donation to Cash for Kids. Now, we actually can guarantee that 100% of that, every single penny, goes right back to children that need your help the most. So £10 to Cash for Kids and potentially silver debenture VIP tickets to the cup final. Seriously, a win-win. Over 18s only, T's and C's in the Cash for Kids page at Clyde1.com. So text Celtic to 84901 or Rangers to 84901 right now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Simon Donnelly are here. Scotland women running out of time, 15 minutes to go. They have played with quite a bit of urgency in the second half, and they're knocking on the door, but nothing doing, and 2-0 down, and facing the prospect of staying at home as the Euros take place in Switzerland. Let's switch focus to the top of the table clash tomorrow. Plenty of time to get back to Rangers and Philippe Clement if you want, but first, heading up to take on second, and it should be a cracker at Pittodrie. So let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He says he would happily field the same 11 players who beat Ross County at the weekend, but he believes it's too early to land a decisive blow in the title race.
It was so good. Everything that you would want as a coach. I said before the game that it's not a game we want to wait on. We want to go and create the game. And from the very first whistle, you see the hunger and the determination in the players and the mentality to impose our style in the game. Wow, some of the football that we played, and not only that, the speed of the game was. I was so impressed with the mentality of the team. It was, yeah, the guys that came in were excellent. Yeah, they're all starters. They're all there. And but they know that. They know that I trust them, and they know the structure of the team. The guys that have come in have settled in.
John's a Celtic fan on the line. What are you thinking ahead of that one tomorrow, John? Top of the table, under the lights.
As I said to the producer, happy birthday, Simon.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Cheers,
Paul. I would actually not mind us getting beat tomorrow night to keep Aberdeen ahead of Rangers, you know what I mean? But it's the first time in a long time I've said that.
Hold on, right. Explain this further to me, because you know the madness of this rivalry is lost in me sometimes, John. So you wouldn't mind Celtic losing just so that it would damage Rangers more?
Exactly, mate.
But John, right, I get it. And Hugh always tries to tell me about the madness of this. Surely, when you get, because there is a, believe it or not, see people like me, John, us outsiders, when you support the wee teams, we say, do you know what? Do you know the problem with that rivalry? They prefer it when their opposition, when their opponents lose more than when they win. And you've just backed that theory up. Surely it can't go that far. So Rangers being affected negatively gives you more joy than Celtic winning.
No, it doesn't give me more joy than Celtic winning, no, but obviously...
Sounds like it.
Rangers won't catch us anyway, so I just... there's no chance of them catching us, but... I would take a defeat tomorrow, you know what I mean? But I don't think it will happen. But as I said, I would say today, but I would play McGowan tomorrow. McGowan should play tomorrow, because I think it'll be a bit of a battlefield tomorrow. So I think he deserved his place. And I would play Ida just to keep Kyogo all right for the cup final, because you know what, he comes alive against Rangers.
Sure does. Simon, you were just saying to me your birthday wish was for Celtic to lose at Pittodrie tomorrow, weren't you?
Listen, John started well there, wishing me a happy birthday, but I can't agree with him there.
You're not going
Celtic,
that far?
No, not at all. I think, listen, Celtic will have their work cut out tomorrow. I think it'll be a really good game. Aberdeen at home, I'd imagine they'll come out and have a go. They'll want to put right the result from the semi-final. I just see with Celtic at the moment, regardless of who Brendan puts on the pitch, the quality doesn't drop, and I still fancy Celtic again. I think they're just in a really good place at the moment. He's shuffling the pack. It'll be really interesting to see who starts tomorrow, because I covered the game at the weekend, I thought McCown was the star man, but I thought they performed as a team really, really well, and it's gave the manager food for thought.
I think there's a few positions like that, right? Midland Park, everybody's talking about McCown, right?
Yeah.
He's been very good, but he's up against real quality in there.
He is.
You can put an argument in. Scales gets the first goal.
Absolutely.
Solid. Left back.
Assist for the second.
Left back, yeah. You know, as it looks a real decent player, Valley. For Greg Taylor. Mm. So there's a lot of arguments for
healthy
Celtic's
competition.
Yeah,
right.
It is. It'll be interesting to see his team tomorrow night. I don't think Luke McCown will start. I think he'll try and go with what I'll call the big hitters. I don't know if you agree, Simon.
What does that mean then? Because that means reputation.
Yeah, I think
to some people.
I think that now, I think Brendan looks that his strongest midfield's McGregor, Hatate, and Ingles.
So not Bernardo. And is Bernardo ahead of McCown anyway?
I would play Bernardo. Mm. I've got to say, I don't think Ingles is playing with the confidence. He's a young lad. He's dropped his levels a bit. So I would play tomorrow night. I would play Hatate, Bernardo and McGregor. Okay, that would be my midfield.
Okay, then hypothetically, what does it take for Luke McCown to start this game or to start games like this, Simon? Because you could say he's doing about as much as he can at the moment.
Yep.
He has only started three times for Celtic, away to Motherwell on the back of Atalanta. He kept his place for the midweek game against Dundee at home, and then it's a home game against Ross County as one of six changes. So everyone keeps saying he could, and he's ready, and he's shown it. But then they all keep saying that he won't, so...
Keep doing what he did at the weekend. That's the bottom line. Keep doing what you're doing at the weekend. If he keeps performing like that, on that level, he'll wrestle a jersey away. He will. I thought he was excellent at the weekend.
Who do you think... Because he's never got to wrestle the captain's jersey, right? So, do you see... I know we got a couple of calls in here about Hatate's maybe dropped off it.
Yeah,
right?
The call last week.
Yeah, Hatate's dropped off it, blah, blah, blah. I just think that... I think he's really blossomed getting into that Midland Park with the players that he's got in there.
Mm-hmm. McCown.
Yeah. See the learning curve you get. You know what like it is when you started and you played with big clubs in Celtic. The experienced guys, you used to learn so much off them and made you a better player.
Absolutely.
Right. And I think that's what's happened to
this boy. But at the same time, Luke McCown's 25, 26.
Never played under that pressure and that level.
Of course he hasn't, but I think he's been skipping at Dundee. I think he's had a good...
upbringing.
Yeah, in the game. Ayr United, Dundee, and I don't think this is... I know he's a self-confessed Celtic fan, and sometimes that maybe puts a wee bit extra pressure on yourself, but I think he's ready for this.
Do you think he'll start tomorrow night?
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's not a yes or no, because they're so strong, I don't think he'll start tomorrow.
That's what I mean. So how does he
they also have Hibs at the weekend.
Right.
So I think he'll play
one of them.
I get that. But,
so he might change it.
But he's done that before. Will we ever see a scenario? So Aberdeen's a top of the table clash.
Yeah.
On the 10th of December, they go away to Dinamo Zagreb.
I don't think Brendan will look at the game tomorrow as any less than the one at the weekend, if you know what I mean. I think there'll be different levels. I wouldn't be surprised
if
they
play
tomorrow.
But then that's what I'm saying. Does the team lineup not contradict that?
But it's got to be the same.
You know what I mean? If tomorrow comes and it's Hatate and Ingles or Hatate and Bernardo, it does. Will Trusty replace Scales again?
That's the argument.
He will, won't he?
I think he will, yes. I think he will. And I think, listen, Trusty's been excellent.
And Kuhn will come back in.
The
team lineup will tell you what emphasis is on this game tomorrow.
We'll see. Let's see. As I say, it's a strong part of the...
Look, it's a great headache for the manager. And I'll tell you what, no matter who Brendan Rodgers plays tomorrow night, I think the Celtic fans will be happy with it.
Yeah.
Right? You can have your arguments. Everybody wants to see Luke McCown getting that opportunity.
I think that's the thing. That's because everybody that's coming in, the levels
they're
aren't dropping. So the fans are enjoying and appreciating that level of performance. And fans will have a little bit of favouritism to lean towards certain players. It's just your own taste. But I don't think the levels drop.
Okay, let's play a big game of our own. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to take on Gordon DL or Simon Donnelly. And remember, for every question you get right, £10 into the pot for Cash for Kids as well. So a nice extra incentive tonight. You do have to call before 7 o'clock though, so do not hang around. It's 0141 951 1025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly are here. 0141 951 1025. Why not join in the discussion? We've heard from Philippe Clement over a bit of a mixed bag there. First Rangers fan says he's given his season ticket away, can't listen to the Rangers manager, won't be back till he's gone. Then the next fan on thinks it's all over the top, thinks they're onto something, thinks they're heading in the right direction, thinks the midfield pairing is as good as any in the league. So where do you stand on that? Before the news, we of course looked ahead to the top of the table clash. It should be a cracker at Pittodrie, Aberdeen against Celtic. I suppose it's been a real mixed bag between those two this season. Celtic fans, you know what Aberdeen are capable of. They were 2-0 down, got the 2-0 draw, and then you absolutely blitzed them in the cup. So which version are you expecting tomorrow? What would your team look like? Brendan Rodgers is full of praise for Luke McCowan. Everybody seems to think Luke McCowan is worthy of a start. Is he going to get one in a game of this size? Give us a call. It looks like bad news on the international front. 3 minutes left of the added time. Finland 2, Scotland 0. And it looks like there will be no Euros for Pedro Martinez Losa's side. They've been much better in the second half and they've gone for it. But I suppose they kind of had to. And the bar was set pretty low on Friday night and then in the first half here. So we'll keep an eye on the later stages there. It's a big midweek, big card coming up. So if your team's involved and we've not discussed them yet, why not join in the conversation? 0141 951 1025 whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Apparently Simon, Hugh and Marvin are all tied on an 80% Ooh. Win rate.
That's a good little
mate
group.
You won really ugly last week.
No.
Yes you did.
The week before. Last week was a good one. 6 or something.
And then I thrashed the boy on Thursday.
Did you?
For, is that 11 out of 12 victories?
This could be a big night for you. You could really start to join that pack.
What, have I got to win
is
about 50 games?
Pack?
11 out of 12 I've won.
I told you this
and
before.
I'm still below the pack.
We are in danger of really repeating ourselves. You're on 75% win rate, which is good. It, the number's fine. But pretty much everybody else is on 80, 83, 88. Hear about last night?
No.
Roger Hanna.
Oh, no. He could beat.
Defeated.
Did he?
Finally, the -2 worked. I mean, he does start on -2. Took him to a tiebreaker.
Oh, Oh, come on. Tiebreaker. Yeah. He could beat in a tiebreaker.
Of the season.
Oh, first defeat in many seasons. That's why we put him on -2.
Unbeatable. Well, now Halliday's the king now, isn't he?
Yeah, he might need
Halliday
to start
and NDL
working. Well, no, the table suggests otherwise.
Look at the amount of games I've played. I've got cramp playing it.
I don't even want to speculate on that. Right, let's bring in Craig and Greenock. How's it going, Craig?
Not bad, thanks yourself.
Not bad. Have you ever played before?
I have not, no.
Okay, what's your usual record like when you're playing at home?
So-so.
What does that mean?
That's confidence.
Win some, you lose some.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right, okay. Let's toss the chocolate coin. I've still not eaten it. I'm holding back the temptation every night. Heads on the chocolate coin.
Have you written an H in a
Yeah, because it's the same on both sides. So I've had to write an H on the head side.
Homemade.
Heads, it will be Simon Donnelly, and tails, it will be Scotland. Scotland could, you know, the old phrase, could play all night and not score.
How did that not
They've
go
hit
in?
The post, the ball's going across the line. The keeper banged her head off the post a minute ago and still kept the ball out. It's quite remarkable, but they're going to lose 2-0 and they're going to crash out. So, heads, it will be Simon Donnelly, tails, Gordon DL. And it's Mr. 50-year-old himself, Simon Donnelly.
Oh, you're in for a good one tonight, mate. Right, I'll listen for you.
Extra.
Remember the code.
Extra pressure, Craig. Every question you get right, thanks to the team at Cairnhill Steel Structures, they will chuck a tenner into Cash for Kids, okay?
Sounds good.
Good man. Right, let's give Simon something else to listen to. Craig, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay, yep.
Right, you're 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. In which city are Scotland women's team playing tonight?
Glasgow.
Which city derby was drawn in the Scottish Cup fourth round?
Dundee.
Where are Rangers currently in the Europa League table? Eighth. Dimitar Mitov moved to Aberdeen from which club?
Pass.
True or false, Kilmarnock have a badger on their crest?
False.
Who managed a team to a Scottish domestic treble in 2001?
Martin O'Neill.
Where would you find the John Lambie stand?
And pass.
Okay. Full time, by the way, Scotland will have to wait at home and try and get back to another major tournament in the future, because it won't be this next Euros. Finland have won by 2-0. Simon Donnelly, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
30 seconds on the clock, your time starts now.
Go.
In which city did Scotland women's team play tonight?
Helsinki.
Which city derby was drawn in the Scottish Cup fourth round?
Dundee.
Where are Rangers currently in the Europa League table?
Eighth.
Dimitar Mitov moved to Aberdeen from which club?
St Johnson.
True or false, Kilmarnock have a badger on their club crest?
True.
Who managed a team to a Scottish domestic treble in 2001?
Oh, I didn't even hear the quick pass.
Where would you find the John Lambie stand?
Partick.
Okay. Squirrel.
A squirrel.
Come on, a badger.
What's the verdict, Craig?
I forgot the next question.
I think you might have done me by one, maybe.
Let's find out. The Scotland women's team played in lost in Helsinki tonight, 1-0. Simon Donnelly.
Good start.
Which city derby was drawn in the Scottish Cup fourth round? It is Dundee. Both got it. So £10 to cash for kids. And Simon leads 2-1. Where are Rangers currently in the Europa League table? I take it you both just guessed that.
Was it? Is it 8th?
Is it 8th?
You both said 8th.
Did we?
I would have been.
And it's 8th?
I thought it was 10th. Great guess, mate.
Great guess. Simon Donnelly leads 3-2. 20 quid. Two cash for kids. Dimitar Mitov, out injured, by the way, for a few months. How big a blow is that?
He's been
really
brilliant for them, yeah. It has been.
Big chance for Ross Doohan to step up against Celtic of all teams tomorrow at Pittodrie. So it's 4-2 to Simon Donnelly. True or false, Kilmarnock have a badger on their crest? Come on. The Killy Badger.
I know. Terrible.
We talk about him all the time in the show. He tweets us all the time.
Terrible.
The Badger.
I know.
Black
and white.
Honestly. At least Craig kept his composure. Knows his wildlife. Does Craig?
Did he get squirrel?
Pulled one back. Well, he gets true or false. 4-3.
Good game.
Who managed a team to a domestic treble in 2001? You missed it because you were distracted. Martin O'Neill. Craig gets it. Level. Craig. 40 quid to cash for kids. Where would you find the John Lambie stand? It is for Hill.
Both got that, surely.
Craig didn't.
Craig, you're kidding on.
Craig, you sound like a young man, am I correct?
32.
That's no excuse then. You should have heard the John Lambie. Not letting you off. I was trying to let you off, Craig, but listen, you've done your bit. You've given 40 quid to cash for kids thanks to Cairnhill Steel Structures, but Simon Donnelly's experience has won out in the
three
end.
In a bounce.
Hard lines, Craig. What are you thinking tomorrow night, Pittodrie? You're a Celtic fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it'll be a win. I think it'll be. I think Brendan's got them sussed out now, so it'll be a win.
Is Aberdeen's bubble burst? Is that the way people are looking at it since they've dropped a couple of points?
Aye, I think so. I don't think so much the bubble's burst. I think Celtic just have them figured out and they're kind of playing the way that, you know, it's brilliant at the minute. So it doesn't matter who comes to Parkhead. I think it's Celtic are going to win.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, it depends which one you lean back on. The 2-2 draw was quite something and showed everything that was good about Aberdeen in the second half. But then we saw that what can happen if Celtic are bang at it at Hampden. You go home advantage this time, Pittodrie. Does that swing anything back the way, or are the two teams in a really different place now?
Yeah, I think they'll be more comfortable playing at Pittodrie than they would be at Hampden or Celtic Park. Yes, the first game they were great in the second half. They went for it. They had nothing to lose. And let's be honest, when you look back in that game, probably Celtic missed a trick. They should have been out of sight.
But the game at Celtic Park.
Yeah. But tomorrow night, Pittodrie, packed house. Aberdeen have gotten great support as well. They've got, you know, full houses at Pittodrie every time they play at home now. The fans believe in what they're doing. They've taken a little stumble. It'll be difficult, but I think everybody looks at this fixture and thinks, if Celtic go there and play, then there's only one outcome.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, you still have to go, apply yourself, watch them going through to Tynecastle a week or so ago and didn't get their own way completely in that first half, but blew Hearts away in the second half. I just think if Celtic click at the moment, they can score from everywhere. midfield to front defenders popping up with goals. They look a real threat, and as I said earlier on the show, they're in a really good place, and I believe that they'll get the 3 points.
Okay, thank you to Craig. It was a victory though for Simon Donnelly. Tell you what, that win percentage looking pretty good.
You're flying on,
alright, 3 in a row.
We've been debating the midfield options for Celtic and Luke McCowan and where he stands, because everyone's really impressed with his performances and his goals and his assists and his general all round play, but then at the same time he might still be Celtic's fifth choice in that area, who knows. But the Celtic manager is backing him for potential Scotland honours, as he declares the midfielder now a fully fledged Celtic player.
I just want to try and help the team as much as I can, no matter what kind of game time I'm getting or whatever. It was good game.
I'll tell you what, he sounds awfully like himself there, Luke McCowan. Yeah. I thought Brendan Rodgers had shaken off the accent. I'd like that. That's what, because like Celtic are winning all the time, to mix up the press conferences, Brendan Rodgers should start
impersonations.
Accents.
Yeah.
Impersonations, yeah. I'd like that.
Exactly.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, my Aiders.
That would really mix things up. No, I'm not sure. Fluent I think Japanese. We could get ourselves some in bother with that. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers, hopefully, in the not too distant future. Let's bring in Callum in the meantime. How are you, Callum?
Good evening, panel.
What are you thinking about tomorrow?
Tomorrow, well, the last time I phoned up, it was before the two Aberdeen games in quick succession. I said that we would blow them away at Parkhead in the struggle at Hampden, and it was the reverse. But this time around, much just like the last chap said there, I think we've kind of got their tactics figured out. A lot later into the season. I think our players' fitness will prove a lot better than what Aberdeen's is. Our keeper's been really good for them. Obviously, he's out injured now, which is a shame for them, but good news for ourselves.
I think Celtic just keep going from here, Callum. You know, strength to strength. Domestically, there's been next to no sign, really, of it letting up. I mean, you're talking about maybe below par a bit at Tynecastle and then win 4-1. Away from home, does that?
I can't, unless anyone steps up and starts a different performance level, I can't see us having any sort of really bad or negative result until things are wrapped up. You might find that we might be bringing in young kids and stuff like that. If the league's wrapped up, you know, by March or you know early April, then you might see lineups that you wouldn't think that you would see in a regular season. Maybe teams will take points off us then, but if we're on it and there's something meaningful to play for, then I don't think there's anyone in the country that can beat us.
Do you think this team's well equipped as well to guard against complacency? Because sometimes that's the only thing that can seep in.
Of course.
Do you think they are well equipped?
You've got guys in the background. Look, you touched on Luke McCowan. I'm pretty sure he'll be chomping at the bit to try and get a starting berth week in, week out. Paolo Bernardo, I think, should already be playing ahead of guys like Engels just now, just based on performance level, so he'll be absolutely chomping at the bit. Liam Scales in the background, Taylor having to basically change with Valley every other game, so that keeps the squad on their toes, that keeps everyone wanting to go. Kyogo's got Adam Ida breathing down his neck for a starting place as well, so if anyone's complacent, they won't see the next game. So I think that's what's driving the performance level as well.
Do you think I was maybe seeing it the weekend, Simon, you were there, because I get it. Celtic have got by far the best players, by far the most money, so let's be honest, are they likely to beat Ross County 5-0 at home? Yes, they are. But I do wonder, maybe unless you, you know, to fans of other teams or people on the outside, you're not maybe going to go to Celtic games, you're not going to watch them closely. They do still work incredibly hard for it, don't they, in terms of that first half. The Celtic fans won't agree, but you almost had sympathy for the Ross County players. Like, yeah, what do you do? Anytime they got the ball, there is 3 and 4 jerseys sort of swarming around them. So it doesn't really look like anyone's taking their foot off the gas.
No, but Callum's right there, because if you take your foot off the gas, there's somebody sitting on that bench wanting to take your place in the team. There's about 6 changes at the weekend, so if I'm one of the changes coming in, I want to shine, I want to go and show my manager that I'm more than capable. There's game after game coming up, I want to be in there, and I think all 6 came in and pose problems, for good problems for Brendan to have. Yes, he'll have his strong 11 or 13 in his head at times, but these guys can only go and do what they did at the weekend. But you're absolutely right, as I said, I covered the game. Any time Ross County, and it wasn't a lot, any time they had possession in that first half especially, Celtic had them surrounded. They work so hard, and then obviously they've got the ability and the quality to go and hurt. I mean, the level of the goals seemed to improve as the half went on. Either's Callum McGregor's great strikes, great finishes, lovely run from McCowan. So yeah, they look far too strong for everybody else, but they can't go out and just expect teams to roll over. They have to go out and beat the teams, and Aberdeen tomorrow will be a tough one. They've been the second best team in the league up until now, and it's a bit tawdry, but I just feel if Celtic apply the way they have been, it will be too much for Aberdeen.
Let's try and get that clip from Brendan Rodgers and get Callum's thoughts on it, talking about Luke McCowan and his Scotland credentials.
International level for me is about technique, tactical idea, and having a level of speed that allows you and mobility to get around the field. So you'll have some really good players, but just maybe aren't quite cut out for that mobility and fast pace at international level. Luke has that. If I look at him technically, his physicality, so that's there at a really, really high level, so we know he can do that. Technically, he's finding the comfort now in the game. Like I said, he has personality, and there's absolutely no doubt. You play for Celtic, he's going to be able to play for Scotland for sure. He's settled in really, really well. And like I say, he's now one of us, because I see this winning mentality. I see the hunger he has to learn. I see the humbleness every day and how hard he works.
Could you see it, Callum? You think there's a potential Scotland call-up in there?
I hope so. It's just about the strongest part of the Scotland squad, though. So I think you've got guys like that aren't in the team just now. Maybe you've got one or two guys ahead of him that have got an opportunity before he would. Maybe somebody like a Lewis Ferguson would maybe have a bigger shout than him to work his way to the midfield once he's back from injury. But he's definitely putting his name in the hat, and that's all you can do, really. But I would love to see him in a Scotland jersey, especially, you know, coming to Celtic at 26, going on to 27. You'd like to see him get the fruits of his labour and get his caps and trophies at Celtic. It would be good for him.
Callum is very sensible. Yeah, I like, because incredible. We often do that. We go, he should be in the Scotland squad, he should be in the Scotland squad, but we don't quite allow for who comes out.
Yeah.
By the way, someone might still have an answer.
At club level and international level, he's fighting a strong area of the pitch.
Because Callum's right, the current squad, you know, like from the last game, Lewis Ferguson wasn't in it. You'd imagine he'll come back in. And people sort of go for like the easy one, the easy target in recent times has been like Kenny McLean, who's now starting every game for Scotland and has been
great.
Has been brilliant.
Yeah.
So the other fringe midfielders, Conor Barron, is that the kind of obvious?
I agree with Callum. You look at, and Simon makes a great point there, he's got some battle in his hand, but I think the boy's up for a battle.
I think he is as well.
You know, you've got Celtic and then you look at Scotland, and the midfield is the strongest probably at Celtic just now, and the midfield is probably strongest at Scotland, and he's got good competition. But all he can do is keep working hard under Brendan Rodgers. He's obviously learning, he's improving them, he's making them better, every aspect of his game.
And then he's playing with better players.
He's playing with better
training
players.
Better players day in, day out.
Probably a better tempo, and I'm not being disrespectful to any of the other clubs, but that's just the way it is. And if he keeps doing that, and he keeps showing that form, and he keeps showing that improvement, of course things will come, like Scotland caps and call-ups. So, he's in. You say Celtic's in a good place. For a boy that went to Dundee, and I think there was a few from Dundee to Celtic, and a few eyebrows raised, £1 million, you're thinking,
he's doing all right.
He's doing very, very well indeed.
Thank you to Callum, 0141 951 1025. Good time to join in if you want to keep going in that top of the table class. You want to go back to Rangers. What about you, Kilmarnock and Aberdeen fans? What are you saying about being on the opposite end of those games tomorrow? And there is a big card, so everyone involved. And what about that disappointment? If you want to have a good old moan, which we tend to specialise in, it's another attempt at a major tournament and another failed one for the Scotland women's national team, losing in Finland. How disappointing. Give us a call, we'll speak next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly's here, Gordon Dalziel alongside him. So give us a call between now and 8 o'clock. Let us know what you are thinking ahead of tomorrow's games. Lots of big ones coming up. Disappointment for Scotland women tonight, crashing out at the final hurdle. There will be no Euros after a 2-0 defeat over in Helsinki, which you got Helsinki, right on. Yeah, beat the pundit.
It's the only city you knew, Finland won.
It was.
Yeah. Speaking of quizzing, what a question this is from Martin Burns. It's an absolute cracker because he's given me the ones that like aren't right as well, and I'm looking at them and thinking, good luck to you. Is that slightly, it's away from Scottish football this time. I need to mix it up. Can you name the seven players who've won the English Premier League, the Champions League and the World Cup? So seven players have won the English Premier League, the Champions League and the World Cup.
Henry.
What a shout.
Yes. Arsenal, Barcelona and France.
The other one in the middle of the park.
Vieira.
No.
No?
Never won the Champions League.
Did I know?
Nope.
Oh, Drogba.
No. Drogba won the World Cup. It's for Ivory Coast.
He's the one who plays with France. Did they not go far in the World Cup one year?
Did you mean Pogba?
Pogba! That's who I mean.
Sounds like
Pogba.
That's who I mean. Pogba, right? Oh, she's a certainty. Well done, sir. Yeah. No, I just got my Drogba and my Pogba. No.
Drogba. He's not even on the hit the post list because he won't have won. He's not won this. He wouldn't have won the Premier League, actually.
Ronaldo's not won the
chance.
Hold on. Has Ronaldo won the World Cup?
No.
Drogba.
World Cup, France.
Oh, Rodri.
Spain, nice.
Spain.
Shout.
Champions League. Rain it in.
No, Rodri's not won.
Not won the World Cup.
Fabregas.
He's not won the World Cup with Spain.
No, that was the Euros.
Fabregas.
Well done, sir. You're just living off the back of me, ain't you?
He's never won the Champions League.
Fabregas. Why are you nodding then?
I thought he was.
I've written it down. So he's incorrect as well.
He's incorrect.
Gee whiz.
Really tough.
Oh, right.
So Spain have won France, Brazil.
Yeah.
Good question, isn't it?
Oh, France, Brazil.
The ones who've never
Italy.
Done it.
Italy.
Just because I think you're struggling.
No, I'm struggling.
Don't worry about Italy.
Don't worry about
Italy. Right, leave okay, Italy. Right, so France, Spain
and Brazil.
Brazil, Germany.
What
about Gilberto?
Nope.
There'll be a German in there.
Germany?
Nah, there actually isn't. And I'm going to tell you that from the outset just because you're taking too long.
So we're on the right
track
with Spain.
You've only got Henri. Think like Spain and France and France. Teams. There are other teams in there as well. Other countries there as well.
What are French?
Netherlands have won the World Cup.
Barthez.
But when did the Netherlands win the World Cup?
That's right.
They haven't.
Like, seriously.
Barthez,
yes. Man United, Marseille, France. You always say there's a goalie, Gordon Dier. Yeah. I thought you'd get it. Right, that's two down, five to get. Let's get Thomas on the line. How's it going, Thomas?
Good evening, Gordon. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, more importantly?
I'm fine, but somewhat bemused tonight. Okay. We've been talking about Philip Clement, should he stay or should he go, etc. And everybody was talking about after the League Cup final, depending on how the game went and the results leading up to then, we would have a board in place to make the decisions. However, I'm reading this evening that despite the widespread publicity of the last couple of weeks where we had the CEO and the chairman leading a contributor about a lord about to take over as chairman, and it was a shoe-in. I'm reading tonight that's now has fallen through, and again, we're not going to have a chairman in place now. I'm going to the AGM on Thursday as a shareholder. It should be explosive. I hope it's not just the usual routine, why have Kilmarnock pies better than ours, etc. I hope they get down to the chase. But surely that's going to be one of the leading questions as to what is actually happening with the board, that we're taking so long to get people in place. We are, it's actually embarrassing now that deal for the chairman appears to have fallen through and we're now left again without a chairman. And do we start at square one again?
Yeah, just in case anyone's not seen it. So Mark, I saw it earlier, Mark Maguire and others were bringing it to my attention actually as the show goes on. So I'm glad Thomas brings it up. So reports tonight, Gordon, suggesting that Malcolm Offord, who was, as Thomas says, sort of meant to become the chairman, I think it was certainly from the outside seen as like a matter of time, that move has now stalled and he's unlikely to become the chairman. Now, we know Patrick Stewart, incoming CEO, not until December 16th after the cup final. He won't be at the AGM. For what it's worth, his role is going to be one that, you know, he's going to very much have the kind of dominant say in the running of the club. Boards still need a chairman, and they do have one on an interim basis in John Gilligan. But it took a while to get the CEO. It now looks like it's going to take a while. If this Malcolm Offord business does fall through, all a bit frustrating from a Rangers perspective.
100%. Thomas is going to the AGM. I certainly wouldn't like to be involved with Rangers sitting there, because I think Rangers fans will be probably displeased, Gordon. Good clubs are built top to bottom. Leadership comes from the top all the way down. I think Rangers fans were excited that all the jigsaw pieces were going to be put in place, and eventually they could go and work from there, look to take the club forward. But it just seems just now, with everything in the club, it's one step forward, two back for some reason. And I think that'll disappoint the Rangers fans. And as I say, I wouldn't like to be turning up at that AGM having to answer all those questions. What's going on?
That's a bit of a mess, isn't it? It's a bit of a mess. As you say, I mean, clubs, they seem to do things topsy-turvy, Rangers. And they're all over the place. Obviously, the results on the pitch and the performances in the pitch aren't helping either at times, but it's not ideal. It's not ideal.
I mean, Thomas, I suppose it is a difficult one, that, isn't it? Because, I mean, John Gilligan will be there as the current chairman. I'm sure he would like to have been able to sort of guarantee fans that things would be handed over to someone else soon. He won't be able to do that unless something changes in the next couple of days. I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of him. The new CEO is coming in, but then he won't be there to answer any shareholder questions at that moment in time, will he?
That's my point, Gordon. I mean, John Gilligan, it's not that he doesn't want to be there. He has stepped into the gap because we needed some kind of figurehead, but he's not a figurehead to speak of. And it's the thing about, I mean, I'm not Philip Clement's greatest fan by 1,000,000,000 miles. I've been on before criticising his style of play, etc., only yesterday. But the bottom line is, who is he answerable to? You know, I keep thinking that he has got no guidance from above, because there is nobody above him. I mean, John Gilligan is only there as a figurehead. He's not making any decisions or anything like that. There's no CEO. There's still technically not a CEO until the day after the cup final, and I know why that is. So that if we get absolutely horsed in the cup final, then his first job is to sack Clement. But he's just got no guidance from above. It's been an absolute basket case, and he's, as he has said himself, I think he stepped into that game with a lot of promises that have not been fulfilled. And he does look, we're all criticising his press conferences, but he looks like a man lost. He is the figurehead at Rangers just now, and it's not a good place to be. Just as I said, I'm looking forward to the AGM, but I'm not looking forward to it. It's going to be God knows what it's going to be.
What would you like to hear? They are quite difficult and bizarre events. I've been to a few, obviously, in working capacity, and was it Celtics last week? And even though things are pretty rosy, there's still some wacky moments, shall we say. What would you like to hear, Thomas? You're saying you hope it's not all about pies. What do you want it to be about?
I want it to be about, where are we in appointing a functioning board from, as you say, I think it was Gondel that said, that a football club works from top to bottom. So we need, I mean, give Celtic their due. Peter Lawwell has been very, very dominant with Celtic for many, many years. And that's where I feel Celtic's strength has come from the top. As soon as, like, Angie left, you know, they stepped in right away, got Brendan back, etc. But we just seem to struggle from one crisis to another. What I would like to do, I don't know who tells us, as I say, John Gilligan is the token figurehead. Where are we going with the chairman? What is the position with the board? Who's in charge? Who's calling the shots? Who's making the appointments? And what is Philip Clement's future? Is he struggling just now because he's got no guidance from above? Or is he just not the man for the job?
running a football club's got so many layers to it, Gordon, because I'm sure Philippe Clement said it himself. Look, things are still heading in a better direction. Maybe not fully the way Thomas wants, but Patrick Stewart will come in as the CEO on the 16th, right? So people might want it sooner. There's now maybe been a speed bump laid down with the chairman news tonight, but you know, still sort of heading towards better than it is currently. Philippe Clement said he's, you know, he's excited by that. He feels there has been a power vacuum at the top of the club recently.
You know, Thomas talks about, you know, nobody make decisions, but they made a big decision on Nils Koppen. You know, they gave him more responsibility. They pushed him up the ladder. Who's making the decisions? So people inside Ibrox are making decisions. But I totally agree. If you're a Rangers fan there and you're looking and thinking, right, CEO's not coming in after a cup final, is that because he's having to work a notice or whatever it may be, Gordon? I don't know. But
no, I think no one's going to say for sure, but it does sort of look like it's just a better time to do it,
what,
you know.
Right. What, if I'm sitting there and I'm paying my money as a Rangers supporter and my season, I want people in at the top right away.
Yeah.
You know, the easiest thing to do is to look at the fixture list and
especially
go,
with those big
I'm not coming in until after the Celtic game. The structure, the now, is frustrating. From the top all the way down. I know John Gallagher, terrific guy, loves the club, really, but he's not the chairman of Rangers Football Club, and I think John knows that and everybody knows that, and he's probably doing his very, very best just now. But Rangers need direction, they need leadership, they need people to come in. It's like taking a bus, putting people in the right seats, then you can go and drive the bus and try and take it forward.
I like that analogy. No idea where it's come from, but absolutely.
I just made that up. I thought it was good.
I can tell.
Good analogy.
Thomas, what about the game tomorrow?
What can you say? I think it'll be more of the same. It'll be 1-0, 0-0, one each, a 2-1 defeat. I don't see... The only bright... Two bright sparks this season have been Conor Barron, who's absolutely a great signing, and I'm glad to see Hadji coming back. He's shown his class in the times that he's played, and hopefully he gets a run at that number 10 position, because again, he was one of the only two bright lights from the weekend, Sunday's game. So I don't see any great changes. I see it just being again a 1-0, 0-0, 2-1 kind of game. Unfortunately, I don't see... There's nobody that they can bring in to change the game.
Do you think, Gordon, that sort of run will be allowed? So it's now on Yanis Hadji, according to Thomas and others, where came in, started. Can you keep him in the team for a bit? Can you almost, you know, accept that it might not be that he goes and performs out of skin every week and gets better and better, but give people a run in the team? Igaman's a good example from last week, because people said that after Thursday, just give him a run. You go to Sunday, was he great? I think probably not. But what does that mean? Does that mean you take him out again and Danilo goes in, or Dessers goes in tomorrow? Do you need to try and give a bit more of a run?
I think so, especially coming up to the big games. Look, I thought on Thursday night, Diomande got a very, very good goal. Thought he worked very hard, Gordon. He brought in Hadji on Sunday. I don't think you can second guess what the Rangers manager's got to do tomorrow night. You know, we're sitting here and we're discussing maybe one or two positions with Celtic. But if you're looking at Celtic's strongest 11, you'd probably just have a debate maybe in the middle of the park. But with Rangers, there's debates all over the pitch. You know, I know that Tavernier come back because Sterling was injured. You're looking at, I think they've got that base with Barron and Raskin. I think he's settled on that. For me, I think you've got, and I'm not saying he's a saviour by any parts he means, but I think Hadji just gives Rangers that number 10 role something a little bit different.
Brings a bit of energy as well.
Yeah, and he can create things. He's a nice footballer.
I like Tierney,
he can excite the fans. But I think...
See, just quickly on him, I think, you know, Philippe Clement alluded to it today. Is that where, I'm thinking, that was it mitigating factors, one of the previous callers mentioned? It's like you have to play Tierney and play him all the time.
Yeah.
Because there are either injuries to Cortez or Matondo or whoever, or actually the, you could argue maybe the quality isn't there either, even if guys are fit.
Yeah, you're looking at McCausland coming off.
You know, because we're talking about this schedule, right? We're talking about, you know, Kilmarnock and big games like that, and then that's before you even get to Spurs and cup finals. At the moment, if Rangers only have a couple of positives or a few, then you kind of, you need to almost flog them for all they're worth, because them,
yeah. And who's his number one striker, you know what I mean?
So like right now, as an example, can Rangers go into any game and rest Tierney, really?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, we're banging on about Luke McCown and all that.
They go behind to Dundee United last week, and you know, it's him, it takes it by the scruff of the neck to get the equalising, get them back in, and he's did that and 5, 6, 7 occasions. I think he's probably their best performer just now, Rangers.
Thank you very much to Thomas. I can see some answers coming in on Twitter, people who are a bit better at this full-time teaser than you two.
Oh, so she's flying.
Which seven players have won the English Premier League, the Champions League and the World Cup? It is quite a list. Imagine that on your CV. You have to be a proper player. I can see Stuart Ibbertson has given it a really, really good go. Kieran O'Donnell, Neil Gillis, Adam McNee, they've all thrown good answers. And you've got Barthez and Henry.
Tell me something, are they a Brazilian player there? Just yes or no?
Yes.
Right, Liverpool. He played with Liverpool.
I'm going to give with one hand and take away with the other. The Brazilian player you will not get.
Right, okay, so he never played with Liverpool.
David Silva?
No.
This is very, very difficult.
David Silva, good shout, but no, not there. You've done a couple.
There's a Brazilian, but I'm not getting them.
Nah, you're not getting the Brazilian.
So what's left? French,
Spanish.
Pires.
Some others, no.
French
is, I think most of your guesses from France have, you're focusing on the 1998 World Cup win.
Right.
What about the more recent one?
More recent one.
Who played in that?
They beat Croatia 2000.
And in fact, in many ways, this guy is top of the list for me. You know, just because.
Oh, Kante.
Yes.
Oh, Kante. What a shame.
Because he's won the Premier
Chelsea.
League with more than one team.
Yeah,
so, N'Golo, Kante, Thierry Henry, Barthez will try and get the rest next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's into the final part for Gordon Dale and Simon Donnelly. Still time to squeeze a call in if you fancy it. And a good full time teaser. A really good one. I can tell by the number of people that are having a go at it at home, because it's some of the players that are not on this list that really makes you think that it's a tough set of answers. So we're looking for the seven players who've won the English Premier League, the Champions League and the World Cup. Kieran O'Donnell might just have them all.
That's good.
What else have we got? Brian, I'll help you with some wrong answers, you know, much like right. I do at the weekends. Brian Daly says Thiago Silva. He's not on it either.
Right, okay. I think I've got one now.
Barthez, Kante, Henri so far.
Manchester United, France, Gerard Pique.
Spain, but I'll give you it.
Spain, sorry.
Yep. Pique. Gerard Pique. Yeah, Man
that,
United.
Is that on it?
Yeah, Man United, Barcelona,
well done,
and Spain.
Well
right, that's me out, mate. I have no idea. I am struggling big time.
I'm struggling as well. So we've got three left. So there's a Brazilian. And what's the nationality?
Okay, I'll give you that now because you are struggling. Right. One Brazilian.
Uh-huh.
One Spaniard. One Argentinian.
Oh, will we get the Argentinian?
Well, when did they win the World Cup?
Just there.
Oh! No, he never won the European Cup with Liverpool.
Who? Oh, no.
The boy in the middle of the park, what do you call him?
No idea who you're talking about, but no.
Came for Brighton.
Oh, McAllister.
McAllister. No. He won the World Cup.
He might win the Premier League this year.
Yeah.
He's not won the Champions League either, so forget him.
No.
Oh, that's annoying me. It's not Di Maria, no. Who else played in that?
Oh, hold on a minute, he's smiling there.
No, it's not Di Maria.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought we were getting a bit.
Who's the boy that plays in the middle of the park for Chelsea?
And getting a bit of encouragement.
Who's the other team then? So it would need to coincide. It would probably coincide with recent English Premier League success.
Alvarez.
There we go.
Alvarez.
Julian Alvarez.
Oh, I'd never get that.
Man City, Argentina.
Yeah. Oh yeah, number 10.
Right, two to get before the end. Right, Gordon Dale, we've done a lot of Rangers, Kelly, done a lot of Aberdeen. Celtic, Dundee, Motherwell, the other one. What are you, what are you thinking there? How much do your hometown team need to try and bounce back?
Yeah, they're coming in for a little bit of criticism. The weekend wasn't good, but congratulations to David Gray and Hibs. I think they certainly needed that result. But if you look at the table, we're sitting there, what, fifth? We're in the top six, doing okay. One or two performances haven't been that great. The manager's coming in for a little bit of criticism, but that happens in football. Stuart will know that. He'll know he's there to take the pats in the back when it's all going well, and the criticism certainly comes flying when it's not. It's a big game tomorrow up at Dens.
Bad mistakes, Motherwell, eh?
Yeah. We were
talking last week about David Gray and the third individual goal, mistakes with Hibs.
The third goal for Motherwell was dreadful.
The keeper from the first.
This one,
yeah, no, but you can't.
Yeah, the second.
You can't get caught out.
The three goals. Just all three then.
So it was a bad day for Motherwell. Day, but it's a good game to bounce back, but it's not an easy game.
I say this a lot in the show. Look, it's par for the course with the sort of supply and demand nature of the way it works here, with the big teams get most of the attention, and with that I think even the problems of the smaller teams get overlooked when it comes to injuries. If you're a St Mirren team or a Motherwell team or whatever, and you've got a big injury crisis, no one on the outside pays much attention. We went through it with Roger last night and talking about Sam Nicholson and Callum Slattery and Jack Vale and Paul McGinn and Stephen O'Donnell and Harry Payton and numerous players who are missing long term, all from one area.
Yep.
And again, I'm not saying any of these are world beaters, but now added tonight, he's still the sort of second choice striking option. Zach Robinson, an hour ago, Motherwell announced, ruptured Achilles and will miss the rest of the season.
Yeah, it doesn't help, does it?
It's constant. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Constant.
Yeah, look, there's a big overhaul in the summer. There's a lot of players brought in. You're thinking, right, that's a good squad. You've got good choices to pick from. And then you're just picking up injury after injury after injury. You're right, Gordon. Teams like Motherwell know that, can't carry that, especially to key players. And probably experienced guys. Stephen O'Donnell for Motherwell, McGinn, the captain for Motherwell. So all of a sudden, that's two out your back four or back five, whatever it may be. You've lost that bit of experience as well. Look, I said it at the weekend. I know that you've got to get criticised for performances and fans pay their money and they're not happy, but sitting fifth in the league just now,
that's what I was about to say.
It's not a bad return for Motherwell.
I think Motherwell would have taken that at this stage of the season, 13 games in. Yes, there's not a lot between, you know, themselves and the teams below, but they're sitting fifth. They're sitting fifth. And the weekend, it's a bad day at the office. As I say, we spoke about Hibs last week and individual mistakes. You look at the goals that Motherwell conceded at the weekend, you know, just a real bad day.
Just to make sure though it doesn't, because what they have done over the last couple of seasons is gone on incredibly good runs and incredibly bad runs. And
inconsistency.
I suppose you can end up all in the... No, but that's the thing. That's not that they become consistent
on the bad runs.
They become
the good
consistently
runs.
Good or consistently bad, rather than being up and down. And it might all end up, you know, with the same sort of points total, all the same outcome. But you obviously don't want it to become a losing habit, do you?
No, and that's why it's so important, because obviously the Ross County result was disappointing. The performance and the goals at the weekend, you're looking at a goalkeeper that's been terrific, been brilliant for Motherwell since he came in, replaced Liam Kelly. You know, he comes out and...
Is that a rush of blood?
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing, but that's a mistake. And not because it's a goalkeeper, it gets highlighted more. And balls ends up in the back of net. Defensively, for the third goal as well, you know you're talking about the second one. A long ball. Stuart Kettlewell have looked at that and been very disappointed. It was one of those days. But it's all about bouncing back. And they've got a good opportunity tomorrow night. Okay, it's away from home. Dundee, you never know what you're getting with Dundee at home. They've got decent enough players that can hurt you if you're not on the ball. So Stuart's got to go up there, pick the right team, right formation, and get the right result.
Big night tomorrow. We're on until 11 o'clock as well. Oh. So plenty to get through. Which seven players have won the English Premier League, the Champions League and the World Cup? Julian Alvarez, Fabian Barthez, N'Golo Kante, Thierry Henry, Gerard Piqué.
I have no idea.
Chelsea, Barca, Spain. And it's not Fabregas.
Chelsea, Barca, Spain.
Come on, Sid.
Winger. Quick.
Quick winger.
Quick winger. be weird to describe somebody as a slow winger. Pedro, yep.
Oh,
and the hardest one, I told you this was really difficult.
Tell me, what was the team?
Chelsea, Barca, Brazil. Really tough.
Jorginho. Because they're always a Brazilian called Jorginho.
He's just making stuff up.
There's always a Brazilian called Jorginho.
Is he a keeper?
Giuliano Belletti.
Oh,
who did he play for?
I just told you, Chelsea, Barcelona and Brazil.
He scored in the Arsenal final.
There you go. Belletti. Thank you very much. Thank Simon Donnelly, Gordon Dyell. The team are back tomorrow. Andrew McLean is in the driving seat. Hugh Keevans is here alongside Cammy Bell. On until 11, atop of the table clash. What will Rangers come up with against Kilmarnock, Dundee and Motherwell? Lots to look forward to. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.